If you want to turn to Matthew 6, we're going to be, if you remember last summer, late last summer into the fall, we started working through Matthew. We took a break a couple times, but we're going back into Matthew, and we're going to be looking at Matthew 6, verses 1 through 6, and then skipping over Jesus' teaching on the Lord's Prayer. We're going to get back to that next week. But you're going to see there's a common theme in verses 1 through 6 of Matthew. And verses 16 through 18 of Matthew. You know, before I read that, you know, one of my favorite stories, and I don't think my brother-in-law finds it as funny as I do, but before I met Todd, and actually before Jan and I even dated, the school that Todd and Jan and I all went to, they used to be on trimesters, so we had a long break from Thanksgiving until January 1st. We didn't go back. It was kind of an unusual situation. But a lot of students from Asbury would go and ring bells for the Salvation Army all over the country. And Todd, my brother-in-law, had the opportunity to go and ring in New York City. And Todd was someone just like most of us, that he likes a bargain. And as he was working one day, each day there were people selling things on the street. And this was in the day of just regular answering machines, not voicemail. And he had someone on the street selling him answering machines. And so he bought one. I thought he paid like $5 for like a $50 answering machine, still wrapped in the box, and was so excited about it. He thought he had his Christmas present for his parents done. It only cost him $5, and was very excited about it until Christmas morning when my now mother-in-law opened up a brick out of the box. What was on the outside of the box didn't match what was on the inside of the box, and couldn't really return it to Best Buy or anywhere else. It was, I mean, again, it was a risk that he took. But, you know, I think about that experience. I mean, do you ever get surprised by something? That maybe you go see a movie or you read a book and you think the cover or the initial impression just seems to be something that will really excite you or something you really enjoy and then just doesn't deliver. You know, I think in today's world, the issue of really being who you say you are and being authentic is something that the world is crying for. And I think on the passages that we're going to look at today really get to this issue of having an authentic and very real and genuine relationship with Jesus Christ. Not something that is for show, that is more concerned about what other people see, but more importantly, that we're pursuing a genuine relationship with Christ. And so I want you to think about that idea of authenticity today, and that really is a theme that will carry us through the whole message today. And the message title is An Audience of One, and we'll get to that in the third point. But you're going to see in the scripture that we read a consistent theme. Again, Matthew 6, 1 through 6, and then we're going to skip over to verse 16 through 18. But you see, as we already remember, Jesus again and again was at odds with the religious leaders of his day. And he challenged them, saying, you know, what you teach and what you say is not consistent with the condition of your hearts. And actually, even at times throughout the book of Matthew and the other Gospels, Jesus actually even calls the religious leaders of his day whitewashed tombs. That on the outside, everything looked clean, everything looked to be in order, but on the inside, he knew their hearts. And he knew that their hearts were far from God. Today, we're going to be looking and really thinking about the things that we do to demonstrate our faith. The phrase that you're going to look at in the passage talks about practicing our righteousness. And it really was a picture of what the Jewish people that Jesus would have originally been teaching, they understood it was how they practiced their faith and how they demonstrated their faith and the things that they did as part of their faith. And he challenged them to be authentic, not just to be focused on the outside, but to look and genuinely look at what the condition of our hearts really is and whether or not we really are pursuing Christ or it's a show. Let's go ahead and look at the scripture. Matthew 6, verse 1. Be careful not to do your acts of righteousness before men to be seen by them. If you do, you will have your reward from your Father in heaven. So when you give to the needy, do not announce it with trumpets, as the hypocrites do in the synagogue and on the streets to be honored by men. I tell you the truth, they have received their reward in full. But when you give to the needy, Do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing. Now, it's interesting. When most of you, if you know that phrase, you immediately understand that phrase. That it's the idea of doing something privately and not announcing it and being public. And yet, there are some people that think that that phrase would basically mean that not even your best friend, those closest to you, those that were your closest companions, that they wouldn't even know that you gave to help that person who is needy. So it's this emphasis of privacy, of not doing it so everyone else sees it, but knowing that our Heavenly Father sees it. Goes on, it says, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, verse 4, so that your giving may be in secret. Then your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you. And when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray, standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by men. I tell you the truth, they have received the reward in full. But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. And we'll explain a little bit more, but this is not saying that we don't pray in public, but we don't pray in public for the purpose of impressing others. And that if we're praying in public, we need to make sure that we're also praying in those private moments. That is where we're nurturing and building that relationship and growing in our relationship with Christ. Skip down to verse 16, and we'll go back to verse 7 next week. Verse 16, when you fast, do not look somber as the hypocrites do, for they disfigure their faces to show men that they are fasting. I tell you the truth, that they have received the reward in full. But when you fast, put oil on your head and wash your face so that it will not be obvious to men that you are fasting, but only to the Father who is unseen, and your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. So, I mean, the passage we just read basically starts with that warning of a caution. Go back to verse 1 again. It says, be careful, be careful not to do your acts of righteousness before men to be seen by them. If you do, you'll have received your reward from your Father in heaven. And then it goes on to present three different examples of that, in giving to the needy, of public prayer, and then in fasting. And for the Jewish person, they're hearing that, they understand what Jesus is saying, because those were the three primary ways in which the Jewish people demonstrated their faith. Giving alms, caring for the poor, their prayer life, and offering prayer and being in conversation with God, but also in the idea of fasting, of removing yourself from food and allowing that time to be focused on the Lord. Those three things of giving to the needy, prayer, and fasting were the three most key things that any Jewish person understood. Those were the three primary ways they demonstrated their faith. And that just sets us up to understand that anything that we do as a demonstration of our faith, we need to look at this caution. Again, it starts with a warning. Be cautious that we're not just doing these things for everyone else, but that they're, because we've received a reward in full. And you see a consistent pattern. You see a pattern of giving to the needy, the prayer, and the fasting, of not being so public about it, not being focused on the glory, the reward you're going to get by other people seeing it and giving you the pat on the back and saying, great job, way to go, you're so spiritual. At the same time, neglecting your own private relationship with Christ and your genuine relationship with the Lord. Today, I want to focus really on three words. Anytime, if some of you that have been coming out on Wednesday nights as we've been doing the inductive Bible study, I've been trying to highlight how to study the Scripture. And one of the things that I've taught those that come out Wednesday night, that sounds like a plug, sorry. That wasn't intent, but just telling you what you're missing. One of the things we've been focusing on, though, is how when you read the Scripture, look for things that repeat. And in this section, you can very clearly see the repetition. And there are three key words that are repeated in this section, and in the first two, and then later in verse 16, that give us a picture and really give us the structure of our message today and what Jesus is really trying to communicate to us. That first word is hypocrisy. And I'm sure many of you, if you grew up in the church, you've heard that word. You've heard the idea of you don't want to be a hypocrite. And really, the idea, the hypocrisy, that the Greek word that's used there was the same word that used to describe the theater and what the Greeks understood in the theater, the idea of putting on a mask. And so it was the idea of that you were putting on a mask to where what people saw was not consistent with what really was going on in your heart and in your life. This idea of hypocrisy, I think for each one of us, we have to look at our own life and ask, Does our private life, is it consistent with our public life? If what people see of us and how people look at us and assess us, is it consistent with what's really going on in our heart and our life? Today there are going to be some tough questions. I'm not putting anyone on the spot, but you need to ask those questions and say, when I come in on Sunday morning, do people see the real me? Or do I put a mask on when I step into this room, the sanctuary? Or do I put a mask on when I drive into the parking lot? I got to tell you that most of my early life in the church, I was trained to put on that mask. Because it wasn't a safe place to not have that mask on. To where if I was really struggling in my faith, that wasn't something that I could go even to my youth workers or anyone else in the church. It wasn't really a place where you could safely say, yeah, just take off the mask, be honest with where you are spiritually, be honest with what's going on in your life. And yet, again, going back to our series from last fall, as Jesus has been working through and what he taught in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus again and again is challenging the religious leaders and saying, don't just focus on the outside, you have to deal with the heart. And that there has to be a genuine righteousness, a genuine relationship within the heart that is at the heart of our relationship with God. I want to ask you today to do some soul searching and ask yourself, is your private life consistent with your public life? Or what's amazing is if you've gone through, I've had seasons in my life where there was some inconsistency there. And what I have found in my own experience and in talking to others who try to hold up a front, that mask, and not be honest about the condition of their spiritual life and where they were with God, is it is exhausting. It's exhausting. And you really aren't at a place where that you can rest in the Lord. The reality is, as I grow in my understanding of faith and what it means to walk with Jesus, is that until you're honest enough about the condition of your heart and honest about the sin in your life and your need for forgiveness and your need for Christ, until you come to that point of honesty, you're not at a place to receive God's grace. And that's the good and the bad news of the gospel, is that every one of us has a need of forgiveness. Every one of us has sinned. And Romans 6:23 makes it very clear that the wages of our sin is death. But the good news of that is that the good news is the gift of God through Christ Jesus our Lord, who gives us eternal life. It's in Christ that we find eternal life. We put our faith in him. We deserve death, but he offers us life. If you're putting up a mask, just know that that mask is preventing you from really meeting God in a very personal and very real way. And God doesn't want you to carry that mask. He wants you to be honest with him to say, this is where I'm at. These are the struggles of faith that I'm struggling with. This is the sin that I'm struggling with. And come before God, because it's in that moment that we can receive his grace and his forgiveness. He meets us where we are. He comes in to not only forgive us, but to begin changing us. This idea of hypocrisy we see throughout this entire section. He says, when you give, do not announce it with trumpets as the hypocrites do. Again, it was this idea, something that would have been done in the synagogue, but it was something that was done to draw attention to the giver. Not the gift or the idea of what it was contributing to, but it was bringing attention to the giver. It goes on in verse 5, it says, when you pray, you must not be like the hypocrites. And again, gives this picture of the person who may not have that private time of prayer and conversing with God and is only focused on those moments where they can stand before a lot of people and do things to bring attention to themselves. And when you fast, do not look gloomy like the hypocrites. I mean, it says, but instead, put oil on your face, wash your face. Try to look like you're not miserable. If you ever fasted, you know that it can be the first time you ever fast, just missing a meal, you might think, man, I can't even skip a meal, let alone a couple meals. But that idea of fasting, if you're doing it so that you can spend time with the Lord and be in prayer and replace that time of eating with a time of fellowship, don't walk around in gloomy and say, well, I'm sorry, I can't eat that today, I'm fasting. And really emphasize that and try to, in any way, show that you're more spiritual because you're doing that. Jesus is basically saying, if you're doing that, that's wonderful, but don't show it. Let me see it, but don't worry about everyone else seeing it. Don't let them see. It's basically saying be intentional so that they can't tell that you're fasting. The idea of putting oil on your face or washing your face is so that you're intentionally not publicizing that to others, but that you know that your Heavenly Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you. We need to look at our own life and ask ourselves, are we really pursuing an authentic relationship with Christ? Is our public life match our private life? And if not, know that it's in that moment that you're honest before God that you can receive grace. In 1 John, it talks about the role of confessing our sin one to another, and that it's in that we celebrate the grace that we receive in Christ. It's something that's to be done in community. That doesn't mean that I'm going to take you up one by one and say, stand here and disclose all of your sin. But you need to have someone in your life that you can be honest with. Someone in your life that you can be honest with and say, you know, this is a struggle for me. I need your help, and I need God's help. Because it's in that moment that you're honest, God's grace and his power can break through into your life. Second word, we looked at hypocrisy. The second word we see throughout this passage, really, the word is actually is reward. And you see that repetition of the idea of, well, if you do it for everyone else and to impress them, you've already received your reward. But if you do things so that your Father who sees in secret sees them, then your Father will reward you. It's something future. You know, the idea here, I think, is an issue of motive. And I really do believe that if you really want to live a genuine and authentic relationship with Christ, we can't just do the right things. We have to do the right things for the right reasons. We can be very busy. You can be very religious doing a lot of spiritual things and be just like the Pharisees who were totally out of step with Christ and totally were ignorant to the fact that the very Messiah, the one that Israel waited for, was in their midst. We can be like the Pharisees, or we can follow Christ's example and understand that we should be doing these things not to impress anyone else. We should be doing them so that we can pursue a relationship with our Heavenly Father. Again, Matthew 6:1 says, be careful not to do your acts of righteousness before men to be seen by them. If you do, you will have your reward from your Father in heaven. And again, each of the examples that we looked at, whether it's giving to the needy or prayer or the idea of fasting, in each of those situations, we have to ask ourselves, are we doing this to impress others? Or are we doing it for our Heavenly Father who sees what's done in secret? You know, I was immediately, I had to think back because it's been a number of months since we were in Matthew. But it's important that when we're reading a section of Scripture, that if something seems to be contradictory or either repeats a theme or maybe contradictory to something that you just read, you need to explore that. And last fall, we looked at Matthew 5:16. And when you first read them, it might give you an apparent contradiction here. Because in Matthew 5:16 it says, in the same way, let your light shine before men so that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven. This follows Jesus' teaching of the disciples being the salt and the light of the earth. And then saying, let your good deeds be seen before men. So how does that jive? How does that line up with what we're talking about here to say that you shouldn't be worried about impressing others? You should be worried about what God, our Father, sees in secret. I really think if you look at those, there's a key phrase in 5:16. It says that when they see our good deeds, that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven. It's an issue of the focus and an issue of who gets the glory. If we do the good, if we do good things to the world around us to demonstrate God's love and truly be salt and light to this world and to this community, and we do that so that other people can come to a point of understanding their need for Christ and entering into a worship relationship with Christ, it's not about us. It's about Jesus and letting Christ be exalted in us and through us. I want to ask you, are you focused more on your glory, or are you focused more on God's glory and Him receiving the praise and the credit? Or are you willing to do something and not get any credit for it? Are you willing to serve behind the scenes? Are you willing to just do something that's a demonstration of God's love and kindness in a way that no one notices except your Heavenly Father? I think when we understand it's not about us, it's about God receiving the glory, it changes our motive. It changes our whole perspective. The other issue with this, the idea of reward and our motive, is that we aren't to be trying to impress others, but we're trying to please our Heavenly Father. And there's a key difference there. It's not only just about us not getting the glory, but God getting the glory, but it's also so that we're not impressing others, but we're pleasing our Heavenly Father. We want our Heavenly Father to see it and long for that day that He looks at us and says, "Well done, good and faithful servant." I mean, do you live each day desiring to hear those words? So that your Heavenly Father, who sees who you are and what you do in private moments as well as in public moments, that He's going to look at the life that you're living and say, "Well done." Because He sees it all. He sees what happens in those moments where we're alone. He sees what happens when we're here worshiping together. We need to ask ourselves, are we impressing others? Are we desiring to please our Heavenly Father? We see this consistently in this section, that we're practicing righteous, doing good. It's the prayer and fasting, the giving. No matter what it is that we're doing that to bring honor and glory to God, not to impress others. The last word, and this is all through this section, is the idea of secrecy, secret. You know, it's amazing. I picked the closing song today because I thought it was appropriate in the sense of focusing on our own personal relationship with Christ and desire to know Him more. But, you know, some of you may have sang the song we're closing with, "I Want to Know You." It's also another title for that. It's called "In the Secret." And I didn't even make the connection when I was studying this text this week. It finally hit me, knowing that we'd already picked this song weeks ago. Is that idea of being in the secret is exactly what this text is saying. That we come to that point where we just want to be alone with God and understand that He sees our heart, He sees what is hidden, He is with us, and when we go, like the Scripture is saying, and Jesus says, we have those private moments where we shut the door and no one else is watching, no one else sees, but our Heavenly Father, who sees what is done in secret, is with us. That's exactly what we're going to be singing about in a moment and talking about pursuing Christ and knowing Christ. He wants us to genuinely be pursuing Him, desiring to please Him and desiring a relationship with Him. The question with this word, though, is who is your audience? Who is your audience? This morning at 7 a.m., when we went down for the Gus Macker, the worship service, I'm not sure exactly how well it was advertised or not, but we had a group of people from our church and some of the vendors were there. Jim did a fine job of bringing a message that I think really hit home for people, whether they know the Lord or not. And we had a time of worship, and yet I realized, you know, part of me, attitude-wise, I was like, well, there's not going to be anyone there. 7 a.m.? I can't say I was excited about getting down there at 6:30 a.m., let alone others. And yet, you know, that issue of motive is so critical. To realize, yeah, we're there, we're desiring to bless someone, we're desiring to impact someone else, so they might hear a word from Jim's message as he spoke the word from Matthew 11, or in one of our songs, if it touched someone. We want to, like that Matthew 5:16, we want to let our good deeds be seen before men, that they might give glory to God, that they might be impacted and their lives changed. But, you know, the most important person that was watching is our Heavenly Father. And so whether it's cleaning a diaper changing area, whether it's being kind to a coworker, whether it's caring for a need that no one else knows that you even cared for, whatever is it that we do as an act of our faith, if we do that understanding that the most important audience is our Heavenly Father, it changes our motive. That we do this knowing that our Heavenly Father is watching and He wants us to do it for Him. One of my favorite songs, Cast in Crowns, the song Life Song. Many of you know the song, but the cry of that song is, "Let my life song sing to you." That song captures the idea of letting our Heavenly Father be our audience. That we live our life, not just the things that we are intentionally thinking about that we're doing that are doing good or exercising our faith, but the way that we live our life, that life song is something that would bring pleasure and honor to God. I want to ask you today, have you come to that point that's your desire? That you're not worried about what other people think and what other people see, but you just want more of Christ and you want to pursue Him no matter what the cost. It says throughout this section again and again that then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. In verse 6, your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. You know, I'm not sure how much of that is Jesus is focusing on that future reward. We know that there will be a day of longing for that word from our Heavenly Father of saying, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant," where our lives will be assessed and rewarded. And yet, you know, being true to the Christian Missionary Alliance, I believe that the greatest reward is Christ Himself. Because when you're worried more about our Heavenly Father and doing things out of your relationship with Him and pursuing Him, it not only changes your motive and your perspective, but you begin to grow in that relationship to where Jesus is enough. Jesus is the reward. And as you walk with Him, as you grow with Him, He becomes more and more the reward that we experience each day. His presence, more of His love, more of His forgiveness, more of His presence in our life, and it makes us want more of Him. We can still live a life looking forward to that future reward, and yet Jesus has promised His presence with us today. We sang a song earlier written by A.B. Simpson, our founder. Another one of Simpson's hymns is called Himself. And I want to read the first verse, because I think it just captures this idea. When we talk about reward and knowing that we're living our life so that God would be pleased, our Heavenly Father would be pleased, and understand that He is genuinely our reward and that He is enough. Listen to these words by A.B. Simpson, our founder. "Once it was the blessing, now it is the Lord. Once it was the feeling, now it is His word. Once His gifts I wanted, now the giver own. Once I sought for healing, now Himself alone. All in all forever, Jesus will I sing, everything in Jesus, and Jesus everything." When Jesus becomes our focus and living a life with Christ that brings honor to our Heavenly Father and letting our Heavenly Father be our audience of one, it's in that moment that not only will it change our motive and change our focus, but Jesus becomes everything to us. And when we pursue Him, like the Apostle Paul, and wanting to not look behind but just continue to press on pursuing Christ, it changes the way that we live our spiritual life. And I'll tell you that when I look over my life, the people who lived with that type of passion and focus and authenticity, they were the people I wanted to spend time with. And I genuinely believe that when each of us gets real before God and are honest about the condition of our heart, our need for Christ, and go to Him for forgiveness, and then let Him begin to change you as you walk with Him, and then live a life that brings honor and pleasure to Him, it will change everything about the life that you're currently living. And the things that you might be holding on to today, or the things you might even be pursuing, that you're doing the things, religious things, so that you might get a pat on the back or someone just to say, "Hey, good job." When you come to a point that your desire is just to hear, "Well done, good and faithful servant," to let God be enough, it changes everything. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, as we come and as we close today in singing this song, Lord, of celebrating, Lord, the desire that You have for us to walk in relationship with You, Lord, I pray that we would sing these words not just as a song, but, Lord, they'd be the cry of our heart. Lord, that we desire to truly know You, that we desire to truly walk with You, to experience You. Lord, I just pray that today that for anyone that's here today and they've never experienced the forgiveness of sin. Lord, I pray that today, Lord, that they would just be honest before you and surrender their life to you and receive the forgiveness that you so desire to give them. But Lord, I pray that each of us would do that, that we would understand that we have to daily die to ourselves. We have to daily recognize our need for Christ and more of him. And Lord, may each day as we do that, Lord, I just pray that in this moment that you would do something very significant, very real in our hearts and our lives, change our motive, change our focus of who we're trying to impress. Lord, may our sole focus be to bring glory and honor to you, our Heavenly Father. But Lord, I just pray that today that you would speak to us and give us a greater thirst and a desire to know you more. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm going to ask our musicians to come.